need someone yelling at you. You just want someone to say what you're already thinking. That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We're going to have people on Pensacola Beach. It's a welcome challenge that we have for 3 or 4 days, but it generates revenue that goes into the county coffers. And our leaseholders, both residential and commercial, have asked us if we would come to the TDC and see if we could get funding for this particular air show, because they have borne the cost of the air show for all the years. And this is the 80th year of the Blue Angels, 60 plus years on Pensacola Beach. And so we're coming to you to ask you to help us, because we can guarantee how many people are going to be in the hotels. We can guarantee you how much money you're going to make. And it's only gone up year and year and year as it progresses.
Now, this is going back a couple of weeks to the Escambia County Tourism Development Council meeting, but this is Mike Burns, the Santa Rosa Island Authority Executive Director. So he's in charge of the sub-government that operates on the island. And obviously you heard him talking about the air show, 80th year of the Blue Angels, which is very cool. Of course, we'll be out there doing all kinds of work this weekend and, making sure that you have the ability to hear the Blue Angels on Friday from 2 to 3. Their narration will be carrying it here on News Radio. And then all day Saturday, we're going to have the civilian show narration and then the Blue Angels narration. So you'll be able to hear that coming up on Saturday. It's going to be great. But they came to the Escambia County Commission's a sub-government of the commission, the Tourism Development Council, that decides how the bed taxes get spent. That's tourism-related funding. And basically said, we make an awful lot of money for you every year. Could you maybe help us pay for it? And I think that for most people, including myself, my answer to that was, what do you mean? Like, doesn't the county? And the answer is no, they don't. I mean, there are things that the county contributes, but they don't pay for the air show. The air show is paid for by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
So we would ask you to please invest in us so that we can produce more money for you. And the cost has gone up. Of course it goes up, right? Fuel has gone up. Smoke goes up. Every year it goes up. And we still put on, as some of the performers have said, the number one air show in the world. The number one air show in the world on the number one beach and the United States. And we hope that you'll welcome the opportunity to partner with us on this particular event.
And this is, to me, not a question of, will the contribution from the TDC increase tourism if the TDC approves it and if the county commission approves it? Will it increase the number of people who come and visit? No, they're not talking about spending more money. And even if they did, how much more could you really pack into the island? There's not a lot of space left. As I thought the story from Channel 3 in the last couple of days, how much would you pay for a parking space right there on Vita Luna right by the air show? 50, 100, 200, 300. I mean, people will, because, it's worth it to them not to have to deal with all the issues. Okay, but back to the air show is, they're not generating more tourism. And I was actually kind of surprised. I don't think that question really came up in the conversation. If anything, Charles Barrow asked that kind of question. Well, how many more people are you going to get here? And the answer would be, well, no, nobody. It's just a question of who should pay for it, since the county gets so much benefit economically out of the bed nights, the tourism development taxes, bed nights, and out of sales tax generated and all the ancillary revenue from people staying at hotels that are not on the beach and going to restaurants that are not on the beach and all of that stuff. And the answer to me is, well, who should pay for all of that activities? Again, all these years, it's been the SRIA, and why shouldn't the county pay something for it? At least that's the pitch, right? Is, hey, this is expensive. Maybe y'all should help.
You know what the budget was for the previous year for this air show?
Last year, I believe it was $239,000.
Okay. And so you're anticipating it's going to go up to $300,000
this Correct.
Year? Correct. What was the year before? How much did it go up between years?
Well, I would say it's probably gone up about 6% per year.
Okay.
So let's take the year before, somewhere around 204, 220, somewhere okay. like that. Now it's up to 239. Now it's gone up. This year, this is not for this year. This is for 27.
Right.
So this year, the air show is probably going to cost us somewhere in the range of about $280,000 and then up to $300,000.
So $250,000 paid for by lease fees, paid for by people who live out on the beach who, you know, do get a benefit of sorts, but not a lot. I mean, granted, you know, beach lease or business leaseholders also pay into this and they do get more benefit, but the residents, you know, how much benefit do they get? Well, you know, they get traffic, relentless traffic for 4 days. And, you know, so, but $250,000 or pushing $300,000 is not a small amount of money, right?
So you didn't receive any funding from the county whatsoever in previous years. Is that right? For this, for their show. And they got for beach renourishment.
We got money for our trolleys. We okay. got money for beach nourishment. And now we're requesting money for the air show.
But we no money never- for the air show.
We have never requested funding for the air show previously.
Okay. And the county doesn't provide you any funding that's not TDC money for the air show?
All the money for the air show is provided by lease fees.
Okay.
And fees collected on the island by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. No money from Escambia County or okay. the TDC.
And so, I mean, to me, when I heard that, I thought, oh, well, this is simple. If the air show generates an enormous amount of bed taxes, then bed taxes should help cover the cost of the air show. That's simple. Now, it's different from most of the TDC questions. Most questions or ideas come before the TDC where somebody, you know, like Cadillac Bank says, I'm going to put on Jazz Fest and, you know, we want you to help fund it because we think that this is going to generate people coming here and, you know, that's a good thing. This is the other way around. This thing's already happening, but you get a lot of benefit from it. In fact, this exact kind of money, TDC money, you know, tourism development tax money, TDT, actually comes from this. You know, it makes more sense for you to pay for it than for our residents to pay for it, essentially.
You know, EMS, and thank you, Ashley, for that as well, is one of our largest expenses for an event like this. That and also the public safety side with lifeguards and the sheriff deputy. That's not covered. That's not going to come out of your funds. That's still going to come out of our funds. And that's over $100,000 that's going to come out of our funds one way or the other.
Just having cops and life-saving and lifeguards is $100,000 just for the weekend, which is, you know, not very cheap. But, you know, you need the service. And as Ashley Hoffberger pointed out, last year around 100 people had attention from EMS alone.
Just going to highlight the additional costs for EMS and the staff out there and how much that does cost and how much it is used. Last year, we saw over 100 people per day on site at the beach, and otherwise those people would have had to take an ambulance back into town. So I think that's really important to highlight.
Yeah, I mean, it's an important service. So what were they going to wind up doing about this in the end? I never know. There wasn't much controversy over this, but, you know, they had another one that there was a lot of controversy over, the foiling week. We'll get to that coming up at the beginning of next hour. But actually, a voice you don't hear an awful lot on the radio, which is Mary Hoxing, my boss, one of the co-owners, you know, the two, she and her husband Dave, of course, own news radio in Cat Country and the Playlist and sports radio, Pensacola. So she's on the TDC, and she moved.
Okay, moving on to item H, the Santa Rosa Island Authority funding for the Pensacola Beach Air Show for $300,000. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to go ahead and fund that.
I'll second Mary's motion.
At $250,000, Mary?
No, at $300,000.
At the full expected price even for next year or the maximum price they expect to pay for this year. Next question after that, and they hadn't voted on it yet, but next question after that comes from Matish Patel, who is a hotel owner And he's often, you know, it's kind of weird because Charles Baer is often the contrarian on the Pensacola City Council. Like, he's the one on the 6-1 vote or the 2 on the 5-2 votes a lot of times. And he's all the one kind of asking the out of left field questions or the obstructionist kind of questions. Mitesh Patel on the TDC is that role. Just because he has a very particular view of a lot of things, he's all, and which I don't mind. That's how you get all the questions answered. Is somebody brings up the unpopular opinion or the view that other people don't want to hear, and so he often raises questions about how things get done or how things get funded or how we even measure success for these events. As a hotelier, what he wants is people staying in his hotels, and he doesn't really judge it many other ways. So he asks the question, well, okay. Are you just going to get this funding today, or is this funding that's going to come like every year now? Because if we establish this precedent, it's a reasonable question. If we establish this precedent, you're going to come back next year and ask again, right? Which, I mean, of course they will. If they can get the county to pay through property or through bed taxes as opposed to the Santa Rosa Island Authority paying through lease fees, well, of course they're going to do that.
I do have a question.
Mr. Patel?
On the application, it said it was a one-time ask. Is this going to be just a one-time ask, or is this going to be a reoccurring ask?
Mr. Burns?
So since we have never asked before, this would be a one-time ask. If we come back a second time, then it would be a recurring ask.
Mm. That's not true. You can make a recurring ask from the first time. It happens all the time at the state legislature. But sounds like you're going to come back and ask for it again. That's your plan?
That's possible. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I was actually kind of surprised Mike didn't say, well, I mean, certainly. That's just, you know, when you're in a situation, and Mike's a great guy. He does a good job running Santa Rosa Island Authority. That's not the issue. I just think sometimes when you're in a conversation with somebody, the instinct is to, you know, kind of hold back and play defense when somebody asks you a question that you didn't exactly love to have to answer. But I always take the view that if the answer is obvious, the best way to approach it is say the obvious thing. You know, agree to the obvious thing. Of course we're going to come back next year and the year after that and the year after that. Which makes sense since all of the money that we spin off for, tourism development tax comes from this event. Duh, we're going to come back. It's kind of an oversight that we haven't come for this so far.
Any further discussion? Misty, will you please call for the vote?
Mitesh Patel?
No.
James Reeves?
Yes.
Ashley Hoffberger?
Yes.
Charles Baer?
Yes.
Jason Nicholson?
Yes.
Jennifer Breyer?
Yes.
Mary Hoxing?
Yes.
David Baer?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
So that was a 7-1 with the hotel owner, Mitesh Patel, voting, being the only one to vote no. And I'll be honest, I'm not really sure why he voted no in this particular case. If he gave an explanation of it, I missed it. But I think generally the perception maybe is that his hotels don't book a lot of stays because he's more like, I think his hotels are more like around I-10 and, you know, north. They're not, you know, downtown and or on the beach. I was just surprised he voted no on that one, since unless maybe what he thinks is the TDC money should only go to fund new things, to expand, to increase, and this doesn't increase. And if you vote no, it's not like they're not going to have the air show. I mean, they're going to do it regardless, even if you don't vote to fund it. But I thought this made perfect sense, and frankly, I was a little bit surprised to find out that the county doesn't fund this every year. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So, yes, they funded it for $300,000, and as is no surprise, we will have the air show. I mean, we're going to have it anyway this year. This is for next year funding. If your kids are, you know, if they're very, very good at math, they can still benefit from Mathnasium. If they struggle with math, they can benefit from Mathnasium. If they're, gosh, I don't know, not taking math right now because it's the summer, they benefit from Mathnasium. It's kind of weird. You'd think all that. Well, one of the issues with even good kids who are, you know, very competent at math skills, during the summer, their skills degrade because they're not practicing it. You know, and when you go back to school in the fall, which is not that far away, the typical, very normal, is about half of all kids lose 2 months of math skills, which doesn't mean that they go back as, you know, like June students, August minus two. They go back as March students, May, when they stop doing math, minus two, or, you know, April if it's June. The point is, it's like they didn't go to school for 2 months. Well, that's not great. Well, that's the point. Mathnasium can help with that. And if they had any concepts they struggled with, they can obviously help with that. And to help them get ahead to understand the concepts they're going to be getting in the fall so that they're ready for it and not overwhelmed by it or not, you know, doesn't catch them sideways, all of that. The way you start is with a free assessment. You just go in and you have them take a little test. And the test identifies, you know, what they're good at and what they're not as good at. And then you work out a program of, you know, how to make sure that that is solved. And they're great. We are big believers in the project of helping people know math and do math better. I'm a big believer in the Mathnasium process itself. My son taught there for a year. Our best friends own Mathnasium here locally. They're step-up providers, so there is state money available for doing this. Mathnasium is located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence Data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryant.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Excuse me. Okay. That's the last straw.
Stephen Root is such a great actor, and yet I do find that every time I see him in a movie, and he's been in so many different movies and so many different roles and such a range, there is a part of me that keeps hoping in some movie he'll be Milton again. That's like the defining, amazing role for him from Office Space. 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, very interesting development yesterday. The House voted to end daylight saving time, or to end the switch back, excuse me, to make permanent daylight saving time. So this is a thing that we have been talking about for years and years and years and years and years, going back to Rick Scott as the governor. And, you know, the way it works right now in law is if you want to go to permanent regular time, permanent standard time, as in to not switch, is what Arizona does, you're allowed to do that in your state. But if your state wants to go to permanent daylight time, you cannot do that unless you get special permission from Congress. So years ago, we passed a resolution in Florida that said we want to go to permanent daylight time so that we would never fall back. We would always have stayed on the, you know, spring forward. So later sunrise, later sunset. That's the idea. And we passed that years ago, and both of our senators, whether it was Rubio and now that it's Ashley Moody and Rick Scott, all along, of course, have been in support, but it's always languished for lack of support in the House. Matt Gaetz always said he did not care about this issue at all. It was not a passion for him, and nobody else was willing to take it up. Well, now all of a sudden, we got a bunch of legislators in Florida that are interested in this, including Jim Patronis, and they passed it yesterday in the House. And, I mean, overwhelmingly bipartisan vote. It was over 300 people voted for it. I think all or almost all of the Florida Democrats voted against it, you know, not to be on board with anything Florida Republicans are doing. And I think, honestly, I think that they're likely to wind up being right, because when we did this in the 70s, it turned out to be such a great idea that everybody hated it when we did it, and then they stopped doing it because, you know, people were dying in car crashes and kids were getting hurt and being out at the bus stop in the dark. I believe in it. I like this idea. I am worried that we've forgotten the lesson of history and we're gonna put it in place and then we're gonna change it all. But if the Senate approves, and I'll be talking to Rick Scott about this morning at 7:45 or 6:45. But if the Senate approves, that'd be it. We wouldn't fall back this fall. And the president has said that he's on board with this as well. So we'll see. But sudden movement. In fact, so sudden that I didn't even think to ask Jimmy Patronis about this yesterday or 2 days ago when we talked to him because I thought, I mean, it didn't even occur. We've talked to him about it before. But so very, very interesting to see that development. Coming up next, the conversation we had yesterday with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Be sure to check that out. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. It's been four straight nights of airstrikes in Iran since those restarted in response to Iran attacking ships in the Strait of Hormuz.
The president making clear Iran is in for plenty more pain unless and until it gets back to the negotiating table.
They'll continue until I say it's enough. I mean, they'll continue. They've been the word the military likes to use is degrade. They've been degraded to a very low level.
President Trump insisting the Strait of Hormuz is once again open for business for everybody but Iran.
Fox's Nita Vogel. Immigration and Customs Enforcement plans to expand agents' use of body cameras and is ending most vehicle stops after fatal ICE shootings in Maine and Texas. People accused of threatening agents or public safety trying to drive away. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's partly cloudy and 73 degrees right now. We'll get a look at our full forecast up in just a few minutes. A Louisiana motorcyclist has died from injuries on I-10 in Baldwin County. Officials say 48-year-old Stephen Foster of Ponchatoula, Louisiana, hit a Honda Civic. This was east of Loxley. He was riding near the mile marker 55 there. And officials say he was thrown from the motorcycle and flown to Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola. The crash happened about July 4th. He died about a week later. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency is still investigating that. Escambia County is honoring Dexter Beasley as its Employee of the Month for July. Beasley works as a traffic engineering specialist, overseeing permitting programs and helping to manage road issues across the county. He also is a longtime volunteer firefighter with Escambia County Fire Rescue. County Engineering Director Joy Blackman says Beasley consistently goes above and beyond for his team. He'll be recognized with a proclamation at the upcoming county commission meeting on July 23rd. Well, small business owners can learn more about how to put AI to work with a free workshop happening later this month. Google AI University 2.0 is happening on Tuesday, July 28th. This session covers automation, data analysis, and running AI tools locally to protect sensitive information. Yeah, it is led by a certified trainer and funded in part by Google. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says 40 years in law enforcement gives him a perspective that a lot of people don't have. He says the idea that crime is worse than it's ever been, really, well, it just doesn't hold up against everything he's seen.
Having been in law enforcement for 40 years, that it's not worse it's ever been, like
yeah.
People think it is. It's much better. In fact, it's almost half of what it used to be in the 80s and the crack epidemic and that sort of thing. So it is what it is. I'm not saying, I mean, one's too many, right? One act of violence is too many.
And Simmons says property and persons crimes in Escambia County are down about 40% over the last 3 years. Building on decades of improvement, he says the agency now is more capable than ever with better response times, technology, and the new real-time crime center. Well, the tall ship Elissa is headed back to Pensacola after missing its original visit earlier this year. Pensacola's CRA approving a docking fee waiver for the ship's stop at Plaza de Luna this week.
Tall ship Elissa was supposed to come during the Memorial Day visit.
when the U.S. Coast Guard Cutter Eagle came, and the Alyssa had some technical difficulties and was unable to make that visit. So they are they have rescheduled their dates for early August.
And the ship will dock August 6th through the 10th. It'll offer free public tours as well as paid sailing excursions on Pensacola Bay. It is 535 Ad News Radio, 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
Lots of sunshine today with a 20% chance of a pop-up shower. High near 91 degrees as we will have temperatures feeling more like the upper 90s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, 10% chance of rain, high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Going into Friday, still seeing mostly sunny skies with a 30% chance of a pop-up storm, high near 93 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 74 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with your money now. Dutch semiconductor equipment maker ASML has raised its 2026 guidance for a second time this year. CEO Christophe Fouquet said orders were extremely strong in the first half of the year as ASML's customers accelerated their capacity expansion plans. Its shares rose 7% upon the news. SK Hynix has led a broad rally in Asian technology shares this morning, tracking a rebound in U.S. semiconductor names after a sharp sell-off earlier this week. Shares of the South Korean memory chipmaker jumped over 11%. Meanwhile, domestic rival Samsung Electronics rose 6.8%. Seoul Semiconductor gained 6.4%. A group of current and former employees have sued Meta, alleging that the social media giant used artificial intelligence to conduct layoffs and discriminated against some workers. The workers allege that Meta's constellation of internal artificial intelligence systems failed to take approved absences into account when determining which employees to cut. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get ready for the News Radio 92.3 Naval Aviation Museum Foundation broadcast of the 2026 Blue Angels Air Show on Pensacola Beach. Hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio or download our app. Then tune in Friday at 2 and then Saturday starting at 11 to hear all the narration from the News Radio team and the Blue Angels. Brought to you by Jim's Firearms, Dale's Marine Construction, Quality Roofing Solutions, Pensacola Beach RV Resort, and Buggy Works.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us this morning. Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back. Always good to have you, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We had over on Lillian Highway, this is last week, we had, I guess, an Uber driver got, I don't know if you'd call it a carjacking, got a gun pulled on him by, I don't know how you say this name, Kayshawn, maybe, McKinney. What do we know about this?
Well, that's pretty much what I recall. That happened, what, about a week or so ago?
Yeah, I think that's right, a week ago. Shots were fired, and, you know, do we have him in custody?
Yeah, I want to say we made an arrest in that case.
Okay.
I think that there was no other injuries.
Do you have very many complaints from either Uber riders or Uber drivers or Lyft or any of the other ride shares? Is that an issue for you guys at all very much?
I hardly ever hear of any situation with Uber drivers.
You know, I think
there are some complaints I read online, but there's nothing that we get reported as regarding criminal activity. I say nothing. Very little.
Very little, reported. It's not notable.
Correct.
It's more notable. They become news stories. And I think a story about an incident takes place in Iowa, and then another similar incident takes place in Maryland, and then some other one takes place in, you know, Texas. And you're like, oh, my God, it's happening everywhere. No, it's three incidents in a country of 35, 40 million people. Like,
well, yeah, and I get that for a lot of things. I'll be at a restaurant, so, man, I hear, you know, these things are going on all over the place. Well, that's not here. That was in another place.
Right.
Oh, yeah, but what about this one? Well, that was in another state.
Exactly.
Oh, well, what's going on here? Well, I mean, there are some things locally, but you need to just pay attention to what's being reported.
And I find myself having that same view. I mean, you know, unfortunately, Walmart has been a site of a lot of incidents, you know. Well, there's a lot of Walmarts. A lot of people go there. And also, every day there's an incident at some Walmart somewhere. There's also, you know, 99.99% of all the Walmarts and the people who went there had no incident. You know, it just, but it's human perception is funny. And so I tend to think, well, I got to be sure I'm carrying when I go to the Walmart. And if I'm going, you know, to, you know, play kickball, then we don't need to carry. But it's just your brain processes these things so weirdly.
Yeah, we get that a lot with the crime stats whenever we reported them, you know, years that passed. And even this year, I mean, we're looking at over the last 3 years, like a 40% reduction in property and persons crimes, which is really great in Escambia County. But whenever I mention that to people, like, there's no way, because I hear about it more than I've ever heard about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, all I can tell you is the stats are what they are. And I can also tell you, having been in law enforcement for 40 years, that it's not worse it's ever been like people think it is. It's much better. In fact, it's almost half of what it used to be in the 80s and the crack epidemic and that sort of thing. So it is what it is. I'm not saying, I mean, one's too many, right? One act of violence is too many acts of violence. But it's like you say, people hear about it, they read about it, and they personalize it.
They imagine it, right?
And it's like, oh, it must be something that also happens here.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that I think you're going to find a little bit scandalous, and maybe you'll disagree with me about this, but people are largely emotional and irrational, and they are fed emotional and irrational information, which exacerbates the problem. But then this is the part you'll really disagree with me about. You ready?
The scandalous part?
Yeah, this is the really scandalous part. I almost I'm ashamed to say it out loud on the air, but people are not that good at math.
Math?
Math. Yeah, they're not that good at understanding that their experience of something, especially their vicarious experience of a TV news report on a crime that happened in their community, bears zero relationship to whether over the 330,000 people we have in Escambia County are actually having more, less, or the same amount of crime, which is a math issue. The human brain doesn't do well at math. It does well at imagination and fear and emotion and irrationality. Well, so, you know, you're trying. I mean, I'm joking, but the point is people are not well suited to understand what you're saying, which is that crime is actually a lot better. You're safer today than you were a year ago statistically.
Right. And the sheriff's office, speak just for my agency, is more capable than they've ever been. Response times are probably shorter than they've ever been. Our cars are better. Our GPS mapping's better. You know, our dispatchers are better to put
the real-time crime center is better.
Everything's better.
But there was a big shooting downtown. Yeah, one incident. You know, like, that's the point. One incident. Right.
I don't know if that's as scandalous as I had hoped.
No, the scandalous part is alleging that people are bad at math. No, people are terrible at math, and that's part of the problem. And understanding the significance of math and being able to talk yourself into the belief that, well, gosh, the numbers say this, but my experience says this. Well, your experience is biased and not statistically reliable. That's the reason it's experience as opposed to the aggregated experience of all of these people that produces the numbers that you're quoting. We'll get back to the sheriff in just a second. PJ, I feel I'm in lecture mode today. I just miss teaching a lot. You know, it's been a while since I had a classroom, and I miss teaching a little bit, so I apologize.
As long as you don't grade my citizenship, I'm good.
No, you're fine. 86. Okay. You had detectives working a case where a 16-year-old was shot early morning hours of July 10th over on, is it Deauville Way in Montclair? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
And?
That's how it was reported. It was reported that at 1:30 in the morning, a 16-year-old says that he was standing in his doorway
Why is a 16-year-old standing in his doorway at 1:30 in the morning?
I don't know.
Okay.
But he claims he was standing in his doorway. A car sped by the front of his house and fired, and he ended up getting shot. Non-life-threatening injuries.
Thank goodness.
He's awake, alert, talking.
Good.
And recovering. But the crime scene itself, we found some shell casings in the driveway. And a speeding car.
As in, not ejected from the speeding car. These are shell casings that were like return fire or something.
Something took place in the area of the driveway, and not necessarily in the doorway or by a speeding car. But anyways, we're investigating it, and we're trying to see if we can connect it to some other crimes.
So his version of events is, I don't know nothing. I was standing on the corner peeling my apple when this guy walks up and hurts me in his doorway, and there's evidence that maybe says that's not 100%. The best, most believable story.
Yeah, we're working on accuracy right about now, and our investigators are trying to decide.
For the people who've listened to this, our interviews for a time, they know this is not surprising. But for the brand new person, you mean people lie to you about what happened surrounding guns and behavior and crimes?
I tell you that people lie to us all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who gets lied to more. Parents, teachers, preachers, who knows? But
girlfriends, boyfriends.
The IRS.
Yeah, right. But there are a lot of people who lie.
A lot of people lie to law enforcement. That's
okay,
great.
All right.
A lot of people tell us the truth.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of people that lie to us.
And you have to approach every person with
a suspect.
Yeah.
Suspicious minds, if you will.
Well, and I mean, not to give somebody cover for the lying, but also it's true that people are not great at perception and recollection and recounting. And so even somebody who's trying to tell their version of the truth.
We certainly take that into account.
Yeah. I mean, they get things wrong.
Been involved in some sort of trauma and it's right after the fact. And they're trying to recollect exactly what took place. But there are times when it's like, there's no way that could happen. And then they stick to it or they change it just a little bit.
Yeah.
Our favorite, the one going around, is we were able to catch someone years back and they had some drugs in their pants. And the response is, "These aren't my pants." Well, you're wearing those pants. Yeah, these aren't mine. Borrowed someone else's pants. I take it.
This brings up a question for me. Do you teach people how to detect deception? Do you teach people, or is it just go out there and learn, kid? I assume you teach how to use a gun. You teach self-defense.
Right.
You teach a lot of de-escalation, conflict management kind of skills.
We go over that in the police academy. There's versions of that where we teach interview techniques, and how to talk to people and what they look like when are they closing their eyes, they're looking away, that sort of thing. Things that almost everyone
knows. Eye movements,
and a lot of things that almost every parent knows, when they talk to their kids. But I think a lot of it also deals with experience. Mm-hmm. We have some investigators, and it's been my experience throughout the years, is that we have some investigators that are great at interrogation.
Yeah.
We have some that are just the facts. I got four questions and yes or no answer is all I need. And which one's more effective? Obviously the one that can kind of get to the truth. And again, it's that thing where how much can you relate? How much can you talk to somebody? How much can you see through what they're the bull that they're trying to give you?
Yeah. The reason I ask is because I have a theory. My theory is that if you grow up with basically decent parents, you don't really learn how to detect lies very well, but if you grow up with really bad, wicked parents, and bad siblings, you learn from experience how to do those things. One of my problems, I was raised by basically good parents. I never had a lot of exposure to lies. And so, I know irrationality. I know errors in logic. But lying is something I've never been all that great at detecting. I mean, if the lie doesn't add up, that's one thing. But, a lot of lies add up. They're just false.
I will tell you that you're talking about if you're not used to it, you're not the best at it, right?
Yeah.
I know that one of the big things that we teach, I try to teach our new recruits, and this has been the way for years, is like domestic violence calls.
Mm.
We have recruits that have never experienced or never witnessed a domestic violence type call
because
they were not raised in that environment.
Right.
And then the first day they're on the street, they go to five of them.
Yeah.
And they're wide-eyed, and I cannot believe that parents talk to each other like our kids are like that.
Right.
And it's something we have to say, hey, this is, unfortunately, this is what happens sometimes.
And the people who are more likely to call you are going to be more likely on that end of the spectrum, so to speak.
Right.
Because the ones who manage conflict well, get along, are kind to each other, don't typically need you to come to their house.
Yeah, and I guess the good part of that is the experience that comes with it from a law enforcement perspective. Then you don't tend to miss some things that you might if you were still brand new.
We also had an incident with a homeless man stabbing another one near the waterfront mission. Is that right?
That's correct. Right there around Crystals on Fairfield Drive, we responded to a cutting victim, and then we determined that a 66-year-old male had a couple of stab wounds to his chest, and we determined also that a 30-year-old Thomas Cortijo had attacked him near the waterfront mission, as you mentioned, and then we ended up finding him at a homeless encampment and charged him with the attempted homicide on Sunday.
Mm, okay. We had they burglarized the air conditioning units at Brownsville AOG, is that right?
They took the air conditioning units.
They took the whole thing?
They took the whole unit. So we put a picture out on social media because a suspect caught on camera, I guess, not our cameras, but I guess the church had camera security footage themselves, and there's this guy on a three-wheeled bicycle. I don't know if you call them, because it's a big one.
A tricycle,
but it's a big one.
Okay,
a grown-up tricycle. Looked like powder blue or light blue in color, and he had a trailer on this three-wheeled bicycle, and he is loading an air conditioner onto the back of his trailer, pedaling off.
By himself?
Returning. By himself, apparently. I don't think they were huge. They weren't main
like personal ones. Size. Okay, smaller. Gotcha.
Probably for one of the classrooms. And he ended up, and he came back and he did it two or three times, ended up catching them with three, stealing three of the.
The getaway vehicle units. Was a tricycle.
Yes, yes.
And a trailer attached to the tricycle.
Well, we hadn't caught him yet.
Okay,
the thought here is that someone would recognize him.
Yeah.
Or this rather unique getaway vehicle that he's using. Or, you know, the combination of all or both those things in the trailer as well.
Okay. All right. Hey, last question I had for you is just it's something that had come up with regard to the downtown incident took place on July 5th in the early morning. I had asked Mike Wood, you know Mike really well. You know, you were his boss for a while and you're good friends. But he had said I'd asked about ShotSpotter and basically said that it wouldn't much make a difference because of the whole scenario with all the cops and all that stuff. But I thought what he indicated was that ShotSpotter was still active. I had thought ShotSpotter, the contract had ended. I thought we had run out of money for it. And it had been kind of like it's good enough to use somebody else's money, not good enough to use our money for it somewhere in that vicinity. Is ShotSpotter still active in the county?
It is still active. It's one of those things where it's no longer supported.
We
stopped paying for it because we didn't get the appropriation. It was approved by Congress, but or the
legislature,
but the governor vetoed it. So we haven't had it since October. We haven't been paying for it since October. But I guess the microphones are still out there and it's still active. And to their credit, they haven't just flipped the switch. And I guess the thought there is as long as they don't need the equipment, they'll let us continue.
Okay. I'm guessing that maybe they have some hope you'll come back or something like that. But how useful is it in the scheme of things? I mean, I thought it had been pretty useful, and I know that's the perception people have is that it's pretty useful. Are we missing a lot because we don't have that active service? Like, you tell me. I don't know.
I don't think we're missing very much, to be honest. The ShotSpotter stuff, of all the ShotSpotter indications that we had, probably 1% was actually a shot fired in anger. That's just an estimate on my part. A lot of them are shots into the ground. No one was hit, so we don't know if it's a shot into the air in celebration or whatever. So most of them, the calls, I say 1%. 1% helped us where we got there and we were able to use ShotSpotter to find rounds. Probably 4-5% are shots fired in anger where someone may have been shot at. So is it worth a couple $100,000? I'd rather use that money for police cars or for, quite frankly, license plate readers or something like that, where we can actually use it to catch the bad guys.
You do get a lot of good, useful results that you can work on. Okay, all right. Yeah. That's why I asked. Chip Simmons, he's the Escambia County Sheriff, as always, sir. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us informed, indulging me in my speculations about the police training and effective lie detection. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And what's that? And math. Yeah, obviously math. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Thank you so much. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Service has always been a part of who I am. First in the Air Force, now helping families across Pensacola make one of the biggest decisions of their lives. Whether you're buying your first home, selling your current one, or relocating to our beautiful Gulf Coast, my team is here to help guide you every step of the way. I'm Wayne Peacock with the Peacock Group at Levin Rinke Realty. And if you're thinking about buying or selling, let's make your next move your best move. Visit us at peacockgroup.info. Again, that's peacockgroup.info.
At Fishbine Orthodontics, a beautiful smile doesn't have to feel out of reach. With flexible payment options and plans designed to fit real family budgets, Fishbine Orthodontics makes braces and Invisalign easier to say yes to. Comfortable care, thoughtful guidance, and a team that works with you every step of the way. Fishbine Orthodontics, making confident smiles more accessible for every family. Schedule your free consultation and fall in love with your smile. Visit fishortho.com today.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Finding a roofing company is sort of like looking for a car wash. They're everywhere. Finding the right one? Well, that's easy. Just call FFS Roofing and Construction, a roofing company that's locally owned and operated that specializes in shingle roofs, metal roofs, TPO roofs, and so much more. They've been helping build Northwest Florida for over 20 years. So if you need a new roof, a re-roof, or roof repairs, save your time and money. Call FFS Roofing and Construction, 850-857-8799.
This isn't shouting.
It's conversation.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays at 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Senor?
Nothing alcoholic. Oh, a beer, maybe.
Si, senor.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
Like that scene. I mean, it came a long time before out of the movie The Bribe, which was a scene they used in Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid as a clip cutaway kind of thing. That's how that movie is manufactured. But in Landman also, you know, when he's sitting at the bar and he's like, you know, I don't want anything alcoholic, just give me a beer. It's like, wait, what? And he's like, son, you know, which is, that's kind of a funny scene. 437-1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I don't want to do that one. I was just looking at something to see if I wanted to talk about that today. Have you seen the new wave of subpoenas issued to reporters for the New York Times for the leaks given to them from the Pentagon that the president and the Department of Defense are upset about? You know, there is a long history of the administration, the executive branch, not liking things to be disclosed to, you know, members of the press. The Pentagon Papers, famously, right? The New York Times versus Sullivan. Like, it's a, you know, long-standing problem with, you have reporters want to report things in an open and transparent democratic society, and they have the right to publish. And on the other hand, the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, especially during wartime, are wanting to keep secrets. You know, sometimes they want to keep secrets for operational reasons. Sometimes they want to keep secrets because we did something bad. We don't want to tell anybody about it, right? I mean, and who's going to make the decision about which secret gets out and which secret does not get out? Well, I mean, it's a challenge. It's not so easy. You know, we don't want a world in which Geraldo's drawing maps of our positions in the dirt on screen. That's not good. But we also don't want a world in which the government that we fund and that is held accountable ultimately by our votes and the people that we elect to represent us to not disclose the information that we need in order to evaluate their performance. I mean, those are the two kind of competing issues here. Well, some reporters at the New York Times reported that the Air Force One that's been donated and worked on by the Qataris is not safe enough in the way that the old Air Force One is, and that's why the president flew on the old one and not the new ones. And so now the Department of Defense is going after those reporters and subpoenaing them to testify. Who told you this? Now, does the Pentagon have the power, right, authority, even necessity of controlling information leaks from within? Sure. And they put out a memo basically saying that. Don't you dare talk to these people. But again, there's a long history of belief in whistleblowers and disclosers and people making judgments about, well, this is actually an important thing for the public to know, and so I'm going to disclose it to a reporter. Can they get in trouble for that? They sure can. Sometimes legally, sometimes not legally, but that the administration wants to go after those folks is, on the one hand, nothing new, and on the other hand, a whole new level of influence that's
inappropriate. Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Hitting Iran a fifth straight day. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
U.S. Central Command just announced that another round of U.S. strikes are currently taking place against Iranian targets.
Fox's Trey Yingst in Washington.
These are the first daytime strikes that we've seen since the ceasefire went into effect, an indication.